I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit corin.com.
Hello, welcome to Japan Needs. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deep understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from Brooklyn, New York. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is Yuichiro Murai, the 29th generation of Koji Sanzaemon, based in Aichi Prefecture, Japan. Koji, which is also called the national mold of Japan, has been used to make a majority of anything delicious in Japanese cuisine, such as miso, soy sauce, sake, and shochu. In the last decade or so, koji has become a culinary keyword, especially among the forward-minded top chefs like René Redzepi of Noma in Denmark and Fernandria in Spain. Yuichiro's family has been selling koji products since 1390. His company's lab has 3,000 types of koji, and he and his team select the right one for each of their clients based on their knowledge and experience accumulated over the 6 centuries. So today, we'll discuss how Japanese and other Asian countries use koji differently, different forms of koji, and how they are used, how we can use koji in our own kitchen, novel applications of koji beyond tradition, and much, much more. But before we start, Japan Needs is available on the Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify, whichever you listen to, and subscribe to Japan Needs. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. Now, let's start a conversation with Yuichiro Murai. Hello, Yuichiro. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
So, welcome. And thank you for staying up so late. I mean, actually, early in the morning in Japan. So, first of all, to get to know you, where are you from? And what did you eat when you grew up?
So, my name is Yuichiro Murai. I grew up in Toyohashi City, Aichi Prefecture, the city located in center of Japan. Our family didn't have a particular food ideology. I ate mother's home cooking dinner and also I ate McDonald's hamburgers. I think I grew up with a normal food culture family.
Right. Yeah, and just to listeners who have never been to Aichi Prefecture, it's famous for a very particular style of miso and soy sauce, and it's just the king of fermentation. So, Yuichiro, you're a very lucky one. So, and then you were born into a special family that has a long history of dealing with koji for over 6 centuries. So, did you grow up knowing that you would succeed to the family business?
Yes, I don't feel that I made a strong decision to succeed in family business. And when I was growing up, it came naturally to me that I would succeed with the family business in the future. For example, just as elementary school students became junior high school students, and junior high school students became high school student, so I feel very naturally to me that I will succeed with the family business.
Right. Well, I never grew up in such a, you know, special family. So probably sounds like it's a gradual preparation in your mind. Okay. And so after graduating from college in Japan, you went to the Thunderbird School of Business, a global management, just a business school in Arizona to earn an MBA. So why did you choose to study abroad? And did you expect that course would be so globally popular? And like we see now?
I wanted to study abroad. And also, my parents strongly encouraged me to study abroad. But when I studied abroad, that time I was 20 years old. And so I was still a student and did not have understood my family business not so deeply. The reason why I chose Thunderbird that my scores on the GMAT and TOEFL were not so high enough for the top schools, but Thunderbird had many many successors to family business from all over the world. To be honest, I had not so strong motivation that because my parents were paying for my tuition and I had the opportunity in front of me, so I might as well study abroad.
Right. I didn't know that Thunderbird had the kind of family business oriented culture. So that's good to know. Okay. And so let's talk about Koji. So first of all, for listeners who are not familiar with Koji, what exactly is Koji?
Koji is a kind of product made by growing koji malt on grains such as rice, wheat, or beans, and it is used in the production of traditional Japanese fermented foods such as miso, soy sauce, sake, and shochu. In the production process of Japanese fermentation foods, the main role of koji is to provide enzymes for fermentation.
Right. So it's a mold, and that's kind of intermediate to produce anything more. The fermentation is basically converting starch, the sugar to starch, and the starch to alcohol, CO2. So that's the basic fermentation, and koji is such an important role because I heard it, the koji produces a lot of many different kinds of enzymes. So that's why Japanese fermentation is so dominant in Japan about anything delicious.
For example, it is said that koji produce more than 3,000 kind of enzymes. And for example, amidase and protease.
Right. And what I also heard, these different kind of enzymes interact, and then diversity creates that kind of very complicated umami. That's why I'm biased, but that's why Japanese fermented food is so delicious. Right. Okay. And so koji originally came from China sometime around 300 BC, I heard. But it became a very unique ingredient to produce traditional Japanese foods. So what is the difference between Japanese koji and the original Chinese mold?
Japanese koji and Chinese koji are completely very, very completely different. So I talk about both Japanese and Chinese koji have the same role as enzyme maker and provider for fermentation. However, the shape of koji and the microorganisms used in koji are different. Japanese type koji is called bara koji. Bara means broken into small pieces. In other words, the microorganisms grow on each grain of rice, remain in pieces. And when each grain of rice is in pieces, it is very easier for air oxygen to pass through. Therefore, it is thought that koji mold and it's thought oxygen-loving microorganisms has grown on bara koji, and that microorganism is koji mold. In contrast, Chinese koji is called mochi koji. Mochi meaning rice cake. Air and oxygen cannot enter the koji. So microorganisms used in Chinese koji is an aerobic bacteria. For example, Kumono's mold.
So the Kumono's mold sounds like a spider web mold.
Spider web.
So, right. So basically, Japanese koji, bara koji, likes oxygen, and Chinese koji doesn't like oxygen. So it can be completely different results because it attracts different kinds of all the other bacteria to grow with it. So it's just, it came from the same place. But then because of the history and the method each country developed, Japanese koji, bara koji is very different, which loves oxygen, and Chinese koji doesn't like more oxygen. So, yeah, so there's a different, like, people say Asian countries use koji, but we really should know Japanese koji and other countries' koji. Each country has different way to develop how to use the koji mold. Right. Okay. So when we say koji, we tend to mix up different forms of koji. So one is called, this kind of getting a bit geeky, but one is tane koji, and the other one is generally called koji. So what is the difference between the two?
Tane koji is the raw material used to make koji. Tane means seed in Japanese word. And koji mold spreaded on grains at the seeds to make koji called tane koji. I use another analogy. Koji is bread. And tane koji is yeast added to wheat. And in addition, I talk about shio koji. Shio koji is seasoning made by mixing koji and salt. If we compare this to something else, koji is vinegar, and then shio koji is dressing.
Okay. Right. Well, actually, shio koji, we're going to dig into that later in deeper. But so tane koji is, you know, when you see a picture of Japanese sake brewery at the brewing room, the toji, they sprinkle something over the rice, steamed rice, that's the tane koji. Right, it's just the seed koji, and usually when you, I mean, if you have brewery or something, it's another step. But koji is just the seed koji is just too powdery. Usually, it's sold already grown on grains, so that's why it's kind of processed. So, Yeah, it's a very interesting way you said koji seed is yeast still like before processed, and the koji you hear often is a bread. And the shokoji is something else, even more processed. So it's a confusing word, but if you want to try, listeners, to get to know koji, it's just a very important distinction, tanekoji, koji. So, all right. So what kinds of ingredients can tanekoji grow on before it becomes koji? So I know koji is often fermented with grains such as rice, barley, and soybeans to make products. But what does koji need to grow and propagate?
When we make seed koji, we incubate it on rice. We use rice as culture. I have heard that some other seed koji, tanekoji makers use wheat as culture. For koji mold to multiply, they need oxygen, moisture, and carbohydrates and minerals. Is used as nutrients for koji. The environmental temperature also affects the growth of koji.
Right. Yeah, so that's why typically when sake is made, being made, the temperature control, moisture control is very important to yes. have the healthy growth of koji seeds. So, yeah, interesting. So as far as it's a starch, the protein for the koji seeds to land on like rice or barley, then it can grow. But you can't kill them because the moisture and temperature have to be very accurate to grow them. So, okay. Well, this sounds very difficult, and that's why your business has been so long-lasting for over centuries. But there are mainly three types of koji in Japan, namely yellow, black, and white koji. So what are the difference between them?
Yellow koji is mainly used to make miso, soy sauce, and sake. And yellow koji is named yellow, but it seems to be green. And black and white koji are used in the production of shochu and aramori. Specialties of Kyushu and Okinawa regions in southern Japan.
And so by the way, we had a special guest last week talking about aramori. So yeah, Maurice Dudley. Yeah, so it's a great point.
Aramori is a kind of spirits made in Kyushu and Okinawa. So
right.
And white koji for shochu and aramori is named shiro. It means whiter than black koji. White koji is actually their color, that color is brown. And and white koji is an albino variety of black koji. And white koji is found in 100 years ago. So the history of shiro koji is not so long. I talk about biological difference of black and white koji or yellow koji. the characteristic of white and black koji is making stearic acid or so, and yellow koji doesn't create stearic acid, black and white koji can create it. The reason for producing acid is to prevent shochu from spoiling during production because shochu and amori shochu and amori is made in southern Japan, so the climate is very hot. So to control pH for acid side is needed. So, and recently, some miso and sake brewers miso and sake brewers are interested in the ability of black and white koji to produce acid and try to use black and white koji in the production of miso and sake.
Interesting. Well, it makes sense, right? Because Kyushu is really hot and humid, yes. And you need to kill extra germs that you don't need in the heat. So that's why you need a black and the albino white koji. And what I heard is white koji became, even if it's 100 years old only, people like white koji because I heard of black koji, if you use them, your distillery wall and your outfit and everything gets a powdery, you know, black, and you kind of get darker. So it's kind of messy. So that's why people started to use white koji because it's cleaner and easy to take care of. And actually, you mentioned, you know, some sake breweries started to use black and white koji. And I tasted white koji, Japanese sake, which usually is only made with yellow koji. But it was very clean and more citrusy and refreshing. So that's interesting. You can just now, we understand this whole chemistry of different koji. And seems like we can find more interesting products, like more refreshing sake because of white koji. Right. Okay. So, and you have very different kinds of clients. So you sell tane koji sake and shochu brewers and also to fermented food producers like miso and soy sauce makers. And also you also sell koji to chefs as well as consumers. So let's just discuss them. So first of all, let's talk about your brewer and food manufacturer clients like miso and soy sauce. So I heard that you sell koji along with detailed advice to them. So what kind of advice do you offer to your clients?
We concentrate for only high volume clients. we charge you separate fee from product fee. Yeah. So, we also explain the characteristic of seed koji, and then we sell it. And we sell tane koji that matches the characteristic of the products customers want to make and the raw materials they are using and the characteristic of the factory equipment and the manufacturing environment.
Well, way. So, well, it's basically, so if I wanted to make miso, and then I want to have a very sweet type of miso, and then I want to make, say, barley miso, mugi miso, yes, and then I have a very small factory I just built, and then my environment is very cold. So it's like the different puzzles, and you really have to combine. And they're different from somewhere living in Kyushu, and if they want to grow koji on rice, and they have a big manufacturing equipment, and you know, they want to make a salty one. So that's like completely, it's like a puzzle.
Yes, so we are hearing that client want to make, for example, client wanted to make white type miso, and the volume of one batch making is, for example, 1,000 kilogram or 100 kilogram, and they wanted to make brown type miso or white type miso, and so on. And so, choice that most matching type seed koji.
Right, that must be based on 29th generation of knowledge. You can't just start the business like tomorrow if I try. So yeah, that's cumulative.
And we have more than 3,000 kinds of koji malt, and mainly use 100 koji malt for said.
But then if somebody wants to have a more specific one, you have to go into that or portfolio out of 3,000.
Right. Yes, and when we provide more in-depth consulting, we generally ask them to share with us the data of temperature and moisture and so on, measured by their factory the equipment. And we look at those data, and we give advice for them. In the past, our staff used to stay overnight at the customer's factory and co-work with them. But in these days, we can consult with by Zoom or online from remote locations. So I think it has become a convenient.
Right. And that means that you can have global clients too, because you don't have to go there.
Yes.
Right. Wow. Okay. And then I heard that you work with top chefs all over Japan and the world. So how do your chef clients use koji? Could you give us some examples?
I think top chefs are very free and open-minded. Their imagination is very amazing. So we have a stereotype that koji is made from rice, wheat, or beans. And we tend to think that soybeans is the beans used for fermentation. But for example, they use coffee beans to make soy sauce, and chickpeas to make miso, corn to make sake, and other use they use that we can not imagine. They use their products as their original seasoning, as their sauce. In fact, we are more inspired by their top chefs' free thinking, and we also learning from them.
Right. It's always better for very traditional products to be exposed to something very different environment, and it's really welcome thing. So I'm glad that you're seeing all things, and I want to know more about that. So you'll stay in touch and keep me posted. So we'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll discuss Koji fermented coffee and other products made with Koji. So please stay with us.
Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Corin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. The knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan Asian to American, and that is why they are located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Corin's Tribeca showroom is home to the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan. Stop by to view their exquisitely designed tableware and the rarest natural sharpening stones. They have a whole range of knife services, from repair and rust removal to reshaping and realigning. Corin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the highest quality Japanese design to your table so you can experience the unparalleled quality of Japanese craftsmanship in your home or restaurant. For more information, visit corin.com.
Hi, I would like to make a toast. Imagine yourself setting the table in mouth-watering colors and wares, wearing that beautiful apron that flows like a gown, curating a playlist that evokes a loose, limber atmosphere so you can dance while you cook your way into a world of play and mischief, extending a warm welcome to your guests. Dear listeners of Japan Eats, I am Mariana Velasquez, author of Colombiana, the cookbook, and I live by the ritual of the table. And that's why I created a line of hosting ware, Casa Velasquez, as an extension of my life, extolling that sense of home, retiring any critique of the moment, and fully embracing your cheeky, imperfect, unbridled self. Come with me to casavelasquez.co and reimagine your hosting essentials so we can set the tone for your table and home. Casa Velasquez is a mutual supporter of Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats on HRN, Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Akiko Teyama, and my guest today is Yuichiro Murai, the 29th generation of Koji Sanzaimon, based in Aichi Prefecture, Japan. His family has been selling Koji products for the last centuries, since 1390. Amazing. Let's talk more about how we can use Koji. So for consumers, you have various products that look very easy to use. So one of them I am interested in is Kanso Koji, that's on your website. So what is Kanso Koji and how do you use it?
Kanso Koji means dried koji. By adding water and the appropriate amount of water is 20% of the dry koji, and the koji used for various purposes such as making amazake and miso. And I think it is a little bit difficult for making sake.
So, but basically, once you rehydrate dried koji, it gets reactivated, You can make. Wow, right. So I can do it at home if I want to make amazake. That's a sweet sake. Okay, maybe I should try that. All right. And then, so what is shokoji? We mentioned it earlier, but what is shokoji and how do you use it? That's also available on your website, by the way.
Yes. Shokoji is a type of seasoning made by mixing salt and koji. And it is used as sauce or marinade for vegetable, fish, and meat. You can find many recipes of shokoji on the internet. The most famous recipe site in Japan has more than 30,000 recipes using shokoji. Even if you don't understand Japanese, but just looking at the pictures is very fun.
Right. I mean, I actually purchased a shokoji in a neighborhood Japanese store in New York, and then it's just so foolproof. I just mixed it, left it, and then I marinated a couple like chicken or beef, and the next day it dramatically improves the taste. So it's just the power of koji. It's amazing. Okay, so if I want to challenge myself, can I try to use tanekoji, or seed koji, at home? And is it very difficult to propagate tanekoji successfully at home?
I think it is very difficult to make seed koji at home. There are only 6 tanekoji makers in Japan. And if tanekoji is mixed with a small... If tanekoji is mixed with a small amount of the bacteria, not only koji, but also other bacteria will grow together when koji is made. So, therefore, very hygiene environment is required for seed koji production. We make our seed koji is an control room as clean as a hospital operating room.
So just clean kitchen is not enough. So yes. I'm not going to try that. Sounds dangerous. Okay. And on your Japanese website, I saw that you made koji fermented coffee. So could you tell us why you fermented coffee with koji? And also what was the result of your experiment?
Coffee bean researchers approached our company first of all, and it was first of all it was a just idea. The result of experiment, coffee brewed with coffee beans grown with koji mold, became less bitter and more sweet tasting. But making coffee bean koji was very time consuming. So I think it seems difficult to mass production now.
Right. But, I keep hearing about this idea of fermenting coffee with koji because, for example, I heard that the World Barista Championship last year that was held in Milan, Italy, the contestant from Finland showcased koji fermented coffee, and it was well recognized among judges, I heard. And I have tasted koji fermented coffee, and it definitely improved quality of the beans compared to the same beans that were not koji fermented. And that was an experiment. They intentionally didn't use the high quality coffee, and I tasted it with top trainer at one of those big roasters. And she said, this koji fermentation can improve the status of coffee farms that are not benefiting, have the highest status like, you know, the market price. And then they're working hard, but they're not recognized. But koji fermentation can really raise the quality of what they make. And, you know, world poverty also involved some kind of koji, coffee farms, fair trade, all those issues are really associated with coffee industry, which is huge. So I think koji can really support part of the coffee farms' efforts. So yeah, I hope you're going to try again to ferment coffee beans with koji. Okay. And so koji has become a community keyword globally, and there are now quite a few koji-related communities outside Japan. So how do you predict the future of koji?
So as I talked about before, so folding chefs very open mind idea. So I think great potential. There are great potential for future of koji. Long term, koji has been regarded as enzymes producer in production process. The important purpose of making koji was to produce the target enzymes for making fermentation foods. And in other words, koji was not regarded as a food. Concept making koji is providing enzymes. So the concept called koji regarded as food is spreading only about 10 years. It is very short history. The concept of using koji in cooking is just started.
Interesting. Right. When I grew up, like, I knew the word koji, but it was like, I didn't pay attention. Nobody paid attention. And then there's a shiokoji boom, and the Japanese people went crazy. That's what you said, like 30,000 recipes on the web. But so I think also, like you said, the foreign chefs and foreigners, there's so many, the craft beer boom, craft everything. The fermentation became very, very important term in culinary world and also any food production. So koji is inevitably getting attention. And like you said, it's an ingredient. It's not just a part of something that's been made, used to make fermented foods. It's an ingredient. So yeah, that's an amazing point. I didn't notice that. So, okay. So sounds like we have a bright future of koji here. So what are your plans and dreams?
I would like to expand the market for koji. For expanding the market, many people must gather and high value products and service must be provided to attract many people for koji. We need to spread the message that koji is very fun and attractive, and for producing high value, I believe that art can give us great hints.
Right. Yeah, and like you said earlier, there are only, believe it or not, only 6 koji makers, providers, which is unthinkable. So you have a big responsibility on your shoulders to make koji more relevant, even more than now in the future globally. All right, so can we buy your products outside Japan?
Yes, We have sent our products, Tanekoji, to more than 30 countries. At this time, due to situation in Ukraine, the transportation conditions are unsuitable, but we have sent our products to more than 30 countries for EU area, Northern and Southern America, Asia, and also Oceania.
Right. Okay, that's good news for listeners. And then where can we find your updates online and on social media? And you can give us your website.
Only Japanese social media. So I think Twitter is the best way to check my updates. Please use DeepL. I also use DeepL for today's script.
So the I looked up your Twitter and this Instagram and handles. That's Koji Ya Sanzaimo. It's Koji, K-O-J-I, Ya, Y-A, S-A-N-Z-A-E-M-O-N, Koji Ya Sanzaimo. And also the website is also Koji Ya Sanzaimo store, and it's in English too. And also Deepo, I didn't know this, just a translation app. And so, yeah, you can use a Google Translate and everything. But basically, I really like your website. It's very good source of information. So,
and it's a good way for catch up our update information. Is using Twitter is, I think, the best. And Koji Ya Sanzaimo's account is @ KOJIYASANZAEMON. Sorry, it's a little bit long. But please find our account on Twitter.
Okay, right. So Koji Ya Sanzaimo. Okay, and yeah, I put the link on our website, the show page. Yeah, the Koji Ya Sanzaimo is really a very cool classic Japanese classic style name. So I like your name too. Right. All right, so thank you so much for joining us today, Yuichiro.
Thank you.
So listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for show topics or guests, please contact us at japanneeds@heritageradionetwork.org or akikotayama.com. Japan Needs is a weekly program and is always available at heritageradionetwork.org as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. Junia, today is Amen's Pension, and thank you for listening. I will see you next week. Japan Needs is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat & 3 is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.